This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, so talking to you from the subject of no fear. Everybody just on the count of three, I love counting to three, y'all. Everybody on the count of three, really strong, say no fear. One, two, three. No fear. One of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to keep you defeated so you can live in fear, or to keep you in fear so you can live defeated. You got it? And that is a trick of the enemy. Fear of things not working out. Fear of someone walking out of your life. Fear of the doctor giving you a bad report. Just no matter what it is, he always tries to keep you in fear. And so you have to learn that it is the just, the Bible teaches us, that live by faith. And no matter what comes or no matter what goes, I'm not going to get in fear. I'm going to live in faith. I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to see God do amazing things in my life. Psalms 56 and 11, the writer says, in God have I put my trust. Not in a man, not in a system, but in God have I put my trust. And notice what he does. He sets his will. We talked about that a little bit last Sunday, making sure that your wheel is your engine and the emotions are your caboose, right? And he sets his wheel and says, I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. And so we've got to learn that it's a trick of the enemy to get us in fear, but we got to make it up in our minds that, man, I'm not walking in fear. I'm walking by faith, all right? Quickly, let's talk about what fear is. Fear definition is simply an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is likely to cause pain or a threat, all right? Fear is a temptation that does not impact you until you act on it. Job says, the thing that I fear the most has come upon me, all right? And that is why you cannot allow, I was talking to somebody this morning. They told me they had a crazy dream, and they were telling me what the dream was, and boy, that was crazy. And I said, when you wake up from that dream, the first thing you got to say is, I curse that in the name of Jesus. That was just a dream. You got it? That wasn't God or anything like that. You got it? You know, how did that come? I don't know. Maybe you just ate something last night that didn't agree with your stomach. I don't know what it was, but I know that was the devil. You got it? You know, you ever get in a, you know, you know, you're in a dream and, you know, you're driving and then, you know, and then your car all of a sudden stalls and you were on the highway, but now all of a sudden you're in the woods. You got it? And then you get out the woods, you know, and you're walking trying to figure out what's going on, and the next thing you know, you're running. You don't even know why you're running. You're sweating. You got it. Trees are jumping out at you. You wake up, you know, your heart's palpitating. You know, you're like, oh Lord, no, the devil is alive. You got it. You know, and right before and then there was a monster. Yeah. And right before it got you, you woke up. Right. Just a dream. You got it. Don't email pastor asking me to interpret that. Everybody say no fear. Yeah, fear will cause you to appraise the possibility of losing when you have not lost. You got it. What if 2022 is not as good as 2021? Don't let that come out of your mouth. It's going to be greater. You got it? And so we walk by faith and not by sight. We see in Psalms 56 and 11 that David shows us that fear was dispelled by choice. So I can choose to live in fear or I can choose to walk by faith. David says, I will not. I will. So he makes a conscious decision that I will not be afraid. And in your life, you have to make some conscious decisions that you're not going to be afraid, that you're not going to get in fear. You got it? That no matter what comes or no matter what goes, you're going to walk by faith and you're going to see the goodness of God. All right. Let's keep exposing fear. Let's talk about what fear does. Fear causes you to disobey God and experience unhappiness really based on a negative thought or a negative person that told you that something wouldn't work. You got it? And you have to be careful about that. You'll be, you know, in faith to start a new business venture or to do something and say, girl, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. You know, these is tough times. You better hold on to that little bit of money you got. You don't listen to people like that. That is why you have to allow Holy Spirit to be the loudest voice in your life. And you have to get over what people think. Amen. Amen. That was three amens. I'm telling you, no, because if you don't get over what people think, you'll live your life based on how you feel they perceive you. Does that make sense? And you can't do that. You got it. Last time I checked, they weren't paying your bills. Come on. Last time I checked, they can't get you to heaven. Right? So you have to learn, you got it, how to live your life based on you and your relationship with God. Something else that fear does is it sucks the life out of you and it causes you to focus on problems and be stressed out. You know, if you're always in fear, you got it, the enemy will try to keep fear before you or keep negative situations before you. And you just got to make it up in your mind that I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm going to live by faith. Number three, what fear does is, this is a big one, y'all, it hinders God's ability to help you. Why? Because Psalms 11 and 6, and it's not up on the screen, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so you've got to make sure that you understand that without faith, I can't please God. And without faith, I can't get God to move in my life. And I want God to move in my life, so I have to always move in faith, all right? And so, yeah, you know, if you're not careful, you know, oh, praise the Lord, you know, God can't help you in this new relationship because your last relationship was bad and you still stuck in your last relationship. Does that make sense? You got it. And you know, so you have to be careful. You know, unfortunately, maybe you went through a divorce and now you're remarried. And if you're not careful, you'll think marriage doesn't work because you already been through a bad one. You think that all men are dogs because it was the last one that you was with. Amen. All men are not dogs. There's a lot of good men out there. Right. Yeah, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. You know, you'll think that people are not trustworthy because, you know, of experiences that you had in the past based on how people treat you. One time, David, he just got fed up with folk. You ever just got fed up with folk in your life? But see, the problem with getting fed up and getting frustrated is you let the wrong things out of your mouth. I mean, one day, David was so fed up that he just threw everybody into the same boat. He said, all men are liars. How many of all men are not liars? But when you're frustrated, that's what happens. And so when we don't have faith for our future, we hinder God's ability to help us and further us in our destiny. You've got to know that the enemy cannot hurt you. You got it? He cannot hurt you. So even though weapons may form, they'll never prosper. You got it? And so the Bible doesn't even say that weapons won't form. It just says that they won't prosper. So things might show up in life, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says in Luke 10 and 19, nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. And so you've got to have the faith of God to know that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that nothing by any means shall be able to hurt me. Amen? All right. So that was all introduction, and let's get into a couple points. Amen. I'm doing real good. One of the main things I'm going to talk about, some things as it relates to overcoming fear, and they'll put number one up on the screen. One of the main things to overcoming fear is to understand, number one, that you belong to God and he's always with you. You belong to God and he's always with you, all right? And so if you belong to God, that means that he's going to protect you. If you belong to God, that means he's going to keep you. If you belong to God, that means he is going to take care of you, you know? And so, you know, it's like our children, you know, our children belong to us and we are responsible for them. Isn't that right? Well, God's responsible for us. So you belong to God and he's always with you. He's Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord that is ever present. Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Watch what it says. Be weak and of bad courage. It don't say that, does it? No, if I ain't teaching right, shout me down. Yeah. Be a little bit strong. Wrong, right? What's the Bible say? Be what? It says be strong and of good courage. He says, fear not or don't be afraid. He says, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. And so the writer says, hey, don't get in fear. Be strong. Be of good courage. So take courage. He says, the Lord your God, he's with you. So everywhere you go, God's with you. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. You're right? And so the Bible says, he will not fail thee. On Friday night, I close out with the scripture in Joel. And he says, he will not make you ashamed. All right? And the Bible says that he will not forsake you. Not forsake you means that he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to walk away from you. He's not going to throw throw you away. He has made a commitment that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, even if you get in the situation yourself, that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Like, he is going to be with you. He's not just there with you in the good. He's there with you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. What a friend we have in Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you just got to know that you belong to God and he's with you, all right? Psalms 23 and 4, here's another one. He says, the writer says, David, yea, though I walk through. So you notice he didn't say that he's going to stop there. You go and set up camp. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he sets his will. I will fear no evil. I will. So you have to set your will in tough times. And the reason you have to set your will in tough times is because when tough times comes, the devil starts talking. When tough times comes, your emotions can be like that, right? But if you will set your will, it doesn't matter what the devil's saying. It doesn't matter if your emotions are going like that. I've already set my will that this is the way I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to believe. This is how I'm going to stand on the word. And it doesn't matter about the circumstances or situations around me. I'm going to trust God no matter what. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There it is, for God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And so no matter what comes or no matter what goes, you got to make it up in your mind that God is with you. You got it. And God is greater. Everybody say, God is with me. And God is greater. All right, Hebrews 13 and 5. Hebrews 13 and 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, here's the key, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So God is always going to be with you. He's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. And you just, you know, you got to learn how to just get over fear. I mean, you just got to get over fear, whether it's, there's all kind of fears. You know, there's some fears like, you know, Joe, was it mom that didn't, I don't want to be calling people out, was it mom that didn't like bridges that, no, maybe it wasn't mom. Somebody didn't like bridges in our family. And so every time we go over a bridge, they get, you know, little kid. But you got to get over that fear. Because God's with you. Yeah, yeah. You got to get over the fear of dying. Yeah. Are you a child of God? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if for some reason, now I'm not speaking deaf, he's going to satisfy you with long life. You got it? But after long life, you're going to close your eyes on this earth and you're going to open your eyes in heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're going to find out you don't know why you were trying to spend so much time staying here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, just you're not going to realize it till you get there. But when you get there, you're like, man, why was I trying to be there so long? You got it. I'm 96. I could have been here when I was 84. You know, I'm just saying. You got it. And so, but you have to get over the fear of dying, because there is no death to a child of God. Death is just a door. It's just a portal. You got it? You close your eyes here on earth and you open your eyes in heaven. So even when you do leave this earth, you got it, you're going to a much better place. Does that make sense? All right, so point number two, only 2 points. So real simple lesson for you today. Probably maybe even give you some time on the clock. So point number two, the second thing I want you to understand is because you belong to God, you have covenant rights. Because you belong to God, you have covenant rights as a believer. There are things that already belong to you. You got it? Like salvation already belongs to you. Healing already belongs to you. Provision already belongs to you. And something that also belongs to you is protection. You got it? And so let's walk through Psalms 91. And this is a chapter that I think that you should quote often. When you're doing your daily devotions and those kind of things, you know, I think once, twice, you know, a week at least, that you should pray this over your life and pray this over your family. All right? So Psalms 91 and 1, let's start there. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. So there's a place that you can get in God where it's just you and him. And that is why you have to drive out all the noise and you have to drive out everything else and learn to just get in a place where it's just you and God and you can hear his voice and he's the loudest voice talking. How many know that it's okay to shut your phone off when you pray? Isn't that right? Like it's so, you know, it's okay. Like, you can shut it back on and you can get the texts and the phone calls and the alerts from Facebook and the alerts from Instagram and the alerts from Twitter and the alerts from your email. Like, my alerts are turned off. You got, they are, because if not, I just, you know, I'd be overtaken. I don't see how people do it. Praise the Lord. And so there's, he's a secret place in the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Watch what the writer says in verse 2. He says, I will say. In other words, I will open my mouth and I will declare some things. And when you're going through something in your life, you can't let the enemy be the only one talking, because he's going to talk and tell you this is not going to happen and this is not going to work out and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But he cannot be the only one talking. You've got to learn how to open your mouth. And the writer says, I will say, or I will declare of the Lord. You got it? There's sometimes you don't even need God to be talking to you. You can talk about him. And the writer says, I will declare of the Lord. In other words, I've been in a relationship with God long enough that I know who he is in my life. And I will declare of the Lord that he is my refuge and he is my fortress. Refuge and fortress means that he's my protection and that he's my safety. He says, he is my God, and it is in him I will trust. So the writer says, I will say that he's my protection, he's my safety, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And then, so I love verse 2, because verse 2 says, I'm going to declare some things. And then verse 3 says, I'm going to keep declaring some things, surely. What does surely mean? Surely. Yeah, so just for all of our new peoples and first-time guests, if I say what it means, it means exactly what it says. You got it? Yeah. When the writer says surely, like, he's like surely, like, this is going to happen. There's no doubt about it, that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, he is going to deliver you. Now, I don't know from what, but he's going to deliver you from whatever it is that the enemy tries to come against you with. Like, surely he's going to deliver you. You got it? Like, I'm telling you, no matter what it is, if it's a bad report from the doctor, he's going to deliver you. If you got a family member laying in the hospital right now, I declare in the name of Jesus that he is going to deliver you. All right? Or he's going to deliver your family member. All right? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. What is the snare of the fowler, Pastor? It is the one that tries to hunt and trap you. It really talks about the enemy. And from the noisome pestilence, that's a harmful, deadly epidemic, sickness, or disease, all right? I am okay. Y'all know my stance on COVID. I don't even like talking about the virus. You got it? I was tired of the virus. I was tired of hearing about the virus. You got it? Just to be honest. But I'm okay. Y'all know this. I'm okay with whatever your position is.
Right.
Praise the Lord. I'm 100% okay. You got it. You know, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. You got it. So we got people in our church that are for the vaccine. I'm for you and I love you. We got people in our church that are against the vaccine. I'm for you and I love you. Be honest, I really don't care. What I care about is teaching this word so you can get it and apply it in your life so it can make it. That's all I really care about. Like, it's not my job to try to, you know, hello somebody. That's all I care about. I care about you getting this word and you living a victorious life. Because at the end of the day, no matter what side you're on, you got a man and woman of God that's covering you in prayer. No matter what side you're on, no matter what goes or no matter what comes, everybody is going to walk in victory. Does that make sense? Everybody is going to walk in victory. All right? And so you're going to just look at yourself. Look at yourself. How can you look at yourself? Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself and say, I am victorious. Do you ever do that, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. Like, you need to do that. You need to, yeah, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm not conquered because I'm more than a conqueror. My faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm hearkening diligently into the voice of the Lord. I'm committed to walk holy before the Lord with my whole heart. The blessings of the Lord are coming upon me and overtaking me this day. I've been set on high above every evil person this day by the Lord. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Where'd you get that from? That little confession book I give y'all? You got it? It's how in the world you memorize that? For years, I would take it every day and keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. It's not that I stopped saying it. I just stopped reading it because it's in my heart. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's why it's so important that you are not unbalanced as it relates to your spiritual man and your carnal man. You got it? Yeah. You know, like, you know, I don't mess with y'all, you know, about the type of music y'all listen to. I don't know what kind of music y'all listen to. You got it? But just make sure that there's a balance, that you're not getting all carnal and no spiritual. Right. Praise the Lord. I don't know what kind of books you read. Have no problem with that. But just make sure that there's one book that you're reading above all the other books. Does that make sense? Because there has to be a balance. If you're getting all this carnality and no spiritual, watch this. Your carnal man is growing, but your spirit man is weakening. And so when something tries to show up in your life, your spirit man, hello somebody, is not strong because it's not getting a devotion. You got it? We have devotions. But look, even if you don't go to WLCC, that ain't gonna make me mad. If you go online, there's some good devotions. There's some other great men of God and women of God out there that have some grace. All I want to do is just make sure that you get the word. And we live in a society now where the word is there at our fingertips. You got it? So there's no excuse for us not to get the word. You got a 10-minute ride from your house to your job. Hello, somebody. You got it? You know, so put on the word. And you will be amazed at how that 10 minutes, and I promise you that the Holy Spirit will pull something out of that 10-minute lesson that you took. You got it? And he'll keep that with you all day long. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. So the Bible, all right, if you're going to give me a clap now, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake, crazily. Get my good side. All right. All right, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Watch this. His truth, which is his word. All right? The reason I'm going through Psalms 91 is because I want you to understand. So his truth, which is his word, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. So his truth, his word, shall be thy shield and buckler. Shield and buckler represents protection. So the word of God is your protection. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What does that mean? That means that you are completely protected when you lay down at night. All right, you got it. You are completely protected, so you don't have to wait. You don't have to go to sleep in fear. Isn't that right? Yeah, you don't have to do that. Worried, listen. So just keep it right there. Don't forget where I'm at. All right, I believe in wisdom. You got it. So I'm not saying leave your doors unlocked. You know, because if we're not careful, you'll be unbalanced. Does that make sense? So even though there is no fear, how many know we should use wisdom? Isn't that right? Yeah. I would suggest that you lock your doors at night. You got it. Now, if you pay for ADT, you might as well use it. You got it. You got it. You know, and so, I mean, you know, if you got a 9, just keep it on the dresser fully loaded. I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, I just that's what I do. You got it. You know, I don't believe anybody's coming up in here, and I ain't fear, but you come on up here if you want to. You got it. Well, what if it's jammed? I got a 380 right next. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm not in fear. You know, I just got wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day. You are completely protected when you lay down at night and when you wake up and go about your day. Verse 6 says, nor for the pestilent that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. So he says, don't fear sickness, don't fear disease, don't fear germs that you cannot see. So don't fear the virus. Use wisdom, but don't fear it. Does that make sense? You got it? And of course, Pastor, not crazy. I know some people have been getting it. I understand that and all those kind of things. And if we find out that anyone's got it, what do? We immediately pray. You got it? And we curse the virus. You got it? And we curse symptoms. You understand? So if you got to go on, well, I think it's now a 5-day quarantine. You got it? So if you got to go on the 5-day quarantine, you're just going to be chilling, you know, in your house watching Netflix or Lifetime. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So I'm not speaking that on anybody, but I'm just saying. You got it? And so what I'm saying is you have to learn how to use wisdom. All right. Don't be afraid of destruction or calamity that you hear going on. All right. It will not come nigh your dwelling. Verse 7 says that. Hold on. Did I miss that? Nope. Verse 7 says 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Calamity on this side. Trouble on this side. Chaos on this side. Killing on this side. Accidents over here. Folk dying over here. Their children are messed up over here. You got all, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thy behold and see the reward of the wicked. So that's not your reward. That's not your portion. So you can't receive that. If the enemy tries to come your way, you got to open your mouth and say, oh, no, devil. That's not my portion. That's not my reward. We are king's kids. You got it? I'm protected. My spouse is protected. My family is protected. And you got to learn how to take authority over those things because watch this. Let me throw something at you. The will of God is not automatic. He needs your permission and your participation for him to usher his will into your life. Do you not know that even if somebody prophesies and speaks the word of the Lord in your life, there's something that you still have to do? You got it? So the will of God, watch this, is not automatic. He needs your permission and your participation to usher his will into your life. Here we go, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He said there's going to be angels on assignment that have been given a specific charge to protect you and to keep you in all your ways and to keep you from stumbling. All right? Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt trample underfoot. All these are creatures that represent like evil and demons and the devil and those kind of things. And the Bible says you're just going to trample right over them. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. I think we're about to wrap it up, Court. This is a good place to go home. We got 2 minutes and 7 seconds left. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he have known my name. So because he has anchored, watch this, because he has anchored his love in me, he's going to deliver me. The Bible says he knows my name. In other words, he knows me. He has a personal knowledge of who I am. You got it? My love, my grace, my mercy is what the writer's saying. Verse 15, he shall call upon me. And what's going to happen when you call upon him? He's going to answer you. I will be with him in trouble. He will be with you in trouble. I will deliver him. He will deliver you. I will honor him. He will honor you. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And so what you have to do is you got to make it up in your mind that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm not going to walk in fear. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to start confessing Psalms 91. All right. Now, I walked you through the whole thing, but it doesn't take long to confess it. It takes about 3 minutes just to confess Psalms 91. And watch this. And the more you confess it, and the more you confess it, and the more you confess it, the more real it becomes to you. And that way, you hear something on January 22nd when you start looking at the news again, praise the Lord. You know, and you're like, I might pray for that situation, but it ain't coming down my dwelling. I might pray for those people, but it ain't coming down my dwelling. Does that make sense? And so you got to get your mind made up that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to walk by faith and not by fear. And I'm going to see God do amazing things in my life because this is our year of unshakable faith. It's our year of unstoppable blessings. It is our year that God is going to restore some things. You got it? And there's some things he's going to restore. He's going to bring back to where they were, make good on them, bring them to a complete, but he's going to make them even better than they were before. And so you got to be in faith that there's some things that God's going to do in your life. Watch this. Because he spoke it. Watch this, because we've declared it. Watch this, because we received it by faith, and we're going to see God do some amazing things. Okay, I got to go. I was up this morning, and I almost changed my lesson, but I really didn't think I needed to. I think I needed to teach this, because you're about to get a whole bunch of faith over Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and I want to make sure that you're not in any fear. But I believe that God has increase on his mind for you. All right? Really, when I was just kind of rehearsing how Friday went, and Friday was so good, how God was showing us some things and how he wants to take us to the top. And when you get to the top, don't come down. That is our time. You got it? That there's some things he wants to restore in our life. God has increase on his mind, but listen, you have to be okay with the increase. You have to be okay with the increase. And the reason you should be okay with the increase is it's in the Bible. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You got it. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You got it? What's another one? Psalms 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Watch this. The Lord who has pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So God wants you to prosper, but watch this. It only will happen to the degree that you release faith and realize God wants to increase me. You got it? And so you got to be in faith that in the first month, in January, he's going to increase me all year, but I'm going to see some supernatural things take place in January. I'm going to see some miracles in my life in January. What you expect, you will experience. So I'm doing my job teaching the word, declaring the word, keeping it before you, bringing some other men of God. Do you know what they're going to teach, Pastor? I have no idea. Have you had any conversation with them at all? Not one. Did you tell them what the year is going to be? Well, maybe Pastor Evan. But other than that, you know, because we talk all the time. But in other words, I haven't told them anything. Why? Because I need God to speak to them for you. Does that make sense? So if for some reason you hear something and it sounds like something I said, then you just got to know that was God confirming what he said. So I never tell anyone what to teach when they come, because when the gift comes, the gift has to flow free. Does that make sense? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word. And our faith remains unshaken. That no matter what comes, or no matter what goes, or no matter what it looks like, even if we're going through a situation right now, we thank you that you are getting us through it, that we're going to come out victorious, and we're going to come out better than ever in Jesus' name. And so we give you praise for unstoppable blessing, that it's our season. And when you set things into motion, Lord, nobody can stop those things. Father, we thank you for restoration. Restoration in families and restoration in marriages and restoration in finances and just restoration in every area of our lives, that you're giving us the desires of our heart because you are our child, because we are your children and we're serving you faithfully. And so we thank you. I want everyone to make this simple confession after me. Maybe you're not saved and you need to. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian and just need to repent. I want you to pray this prayer. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. We have something called that connection card that we talked about at the beginning. And if you're a first-time friend, I need you to fill it out anyways. But at the same time, if you know you're going to give your life to Jesus today, I need you to fill out that card. If you know you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus, I need you to fill out that card. If you know you're going to join our church today, I need you to fill out that card. And so the card is located in the seat pocket in front of you if you're in the room. If you need a pen, if you'll hold your hand up high, ushers will be glad to help you, and they'll be glad to give you one. And so, and then what do I do with the card, Pastor? Well, if you're a first-time friend, you'll take it to the first-time friend's table. And if you're not a first-time friend, ushers are holding usher offering buckets, so you just drop it in there. And so online, you will submit yours to us. And so let's pray. Let's pray. I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big praise all over the